Back up to Hebrews chapter 10, where we just were with communion. We'll go a little further there. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 19 is where we'll go again. We'll read a few verses here. This is a great passage. It's one of my favorite passages of Scripture in the Bible. It says, "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Hallelujah. As we said earlier, we've got boldness now, we've got confidence now to enter the holiest. That's the very presence of God. And again, that's not a physical place anymore. That's a place in the Spirit. That's a place in the Spirit now. The presence of God, the holiest, is a place in the Spirit realm. In the Old Covenant, it was a physical place. It was behind the veil. It was in the temple. But now it's a place in the Spirit. And you'll see as we get into this why that's significant, why that's important. But we have boldness to enter that place by the blood of Jesus. Again, only the priest could enter, and only once a year into that holiest. But now every believer, everybody say every believer.
Every believer.
Say, that means me. We have free and full access to the presence of God. It says by a new and living way. Notice that phrase. It says by a new and living way. Everybody say a new and living way. Hallelujah. So I want to talk to you over the next few weeks, and we'll skip next week because we'll have the guest speaker. But I want to talk to you about a new and living way. A new and living way. And I believe there are three parts to this. The first one is the way of the Spirit. The second one, the way of faith. And the third one, the way of love. This new and living way, it's a way of the Spirit, it's a way of faith, and it's a way of love. And it's the way that we as believers in the New Testament, believers in Jesus, it's the way that we're called to walk. Amen. Now, today I just was thinking about it as I was up reading my Bible, just spending time with the Lord this morning. And I believe I have this right. I know it was the first Sunday of June, and I believe it was 1970. So, and I look back at a calendar. The first Sunday of June of 1970 was actually June the 7th, just like it is today. That's the day that I got saved. So today is my 45th spiritual birthday.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. And I was thinking about that, and I've shared that at times here before, but I know that Sunday, after Sunday school, we had Sunday school at 10 o'clock, and then our worship service started at 11. And so after Sunday school, me and my buddies came out, two friends of mine that I hung out with all the time, and we were sitting on the back row, as we normally do, and getting distracted, and I was always innocent, but... You know, they would always be doing things to make me laugh. You know, isn't that awful? Has it ever happened to you that you're in a place where you're not supposed to laugh? And, I mean, you're just, you know, on the inside is just a laugh about to explode out of you. Y'all looking at me like that's never happened. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And so, for some reason, they left. And I think they didn't stay they had other things, and they didn't stay for the preaching, is what we'd call it. So we had Sunday school, and then we had the preaching. And so, which was the main worship service. And so they didn't stay for the preaching. And we were the church was between pastors. Our pastor had left, and we didn't have a new pastor yet. So they were having this guest preachers come in and fill in. And that particular day, they left, so I didn't want to sit back on the back row by myself. And both my grandmothers happened to be at church that day. And so I thought, I'll go up and sit with my grandmothers. You know, it's hard to get distracted when you're sitting between your grandmothers. And so I went up and I sat with my dad's mother, who she always came to the church there. But then my mother's mother, Grandmother Carr, in the summertime, she would come and stay with us, and then with my Aunt Dorothy, who lived across the road from us. That's where she would stay. My granddaddy had passed away, I guess just the year or 2 years before. And so she would come and stay with us in the summertime. And so she was there and at church that day. And so I went up and I sat with them. And so I was forced to pay attention that day. And in that condition of paying attention, I heard the gospel. And I went forward and I gave my heart to Jesus that day. So 45 years ago today, praise God. And so I told Royal I share a birthday with him. Today's his natural birthday. Hallelujah. He said mine was more important, but you couldn't have a spiritual birthday unless you're first born naturally. So both are important. Amen. Hallelujah. But so I got born again, but I really didn't learn anything. And I really didn't grow spiritually. I really didn't find out about the way that I'm supposed to live as one who's now alive to God, spiritually alive. I didn't find out about that. I didn't really start hearing about that till about 9 years later is when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then I began to discover, hey, there's more to this. You don't just get your, ticket to heaven punched. There's more to this. There's a way, there's a new and living way that we're supposed to live. Amen. And I begin hearing about that and discovering about that. But some other scripture to consider here, Ephesians 2, verse 17, it says, "And he," talking about Jesus, "he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." That's what I wanted you to see here. We have access to the Father, how? By one Spirit. So our access way to God, our access way to the Father is by the Spirit. Amen?
Yes.
By the Spirit. I'm going to read this to you out of the New Living Translation. "He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him." Now, who is he writing to? This is the book of Ephesians. So he's writing to the Ephesians. And they, let me tell you, they were Gentiles who were far away from God. They were worshiping idols. They worshiped this goddess called Diana, right? And so they were worshiping idols there in Ephesus. And Paul is writing to them and he says, "He brought the good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near." Now the Jews were near to God because they had the revelation of the true God. Because they had his laws and they had the sacrifices and they had, everything to do with the old covenant. They were near to God, but I'm telling you, near is not good enough. They were near, but they were not there. Because near is not good enough. You know, of course, y'all know Will and Aaron, our son and daughter-in-law, and they live up in New York now, and we haven't seen them since Christmas. Now, if I were to, if my phone were to ring and it was Will on the phone and he said, "Hey, Dad, we're in for South County," I'd say, "Well, that's nice, son. I'm glad you're near." Would I be satisfied with that, knowing that he's in for South County? I said, what are you doing? Come on to the house. I wouldn't be satisfied with just knowing, okay, he's near. He's here in for South County somewhere. He's not 900 miles away in New York. He's in for South County. I wouldn't be satisfied till he walked through the front door. And I was able to put my arms around him and give him a hug and say, "It's great to see you." Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Well, that's the way God was. And that's the way God, near was not good enough.
Amen.
Amen. In our relationship with God, Jesus came and brought the good news of peace to the folks that were far away and also those who were near. The Jews were near, but near wasn't good enough. Verse 18, look at now. "Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit, because of what Christ has done for us." How do we come to the Father? We come through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So this new and living way, first of all, is a way of the Spirit. It's a way of the Spirit. Amen. We have access to God through the Spirit. Amen. Now, again, in the Old Testament, they worship God by attempting to keep His laws, by observing the sacrifices, by keeping the festivals. These things brought them near, but never could bring them all the way to God. Amen? Now, after his resurrection, remember Jesus went to the cross, was raised from the dead 3 days later, appeared to his disciples, began to instruct them and talk to them. And what did he tell them to do? He says, guys, he said, I want you to wait here in Jerusalem because something very important is going to happen. John baptized you with baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit in a few days here.
Amen.
And he said, and he commissioned them. He said, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel, carry this message, but don't go until you're endued with power from on high. And so God chose a Jewish feast day, the day of Pentecost, to pour out the Holy Spirit. So look with me at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. In Acts 2 and verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled. How many of them were filled?
All of them.
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Who gave them utterance? The Spirit did. They were all of a sudden, they were filled with the Spirit of God. They began speaking with other tongues because the Spirit was giving them utterance to speak. They had entered into a brand new way. They had entered into a brand new life in the Spirit that they'd never known before. Praise God. Oh, I remember when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, it was like a whole brand new world opened up to me. A brand new life in the Spirit that I'd never known before. Well, that's where God wants us to live, beloved. That's where God wants us to live. He wants us to live this life in the Spirit. He wants us to live this new and living way. Amen?
Amen.
Now, this was not just some isolated aberration that happened. They came out of the upper room, and Peter began to preach there. As you know, in verse number 14, it says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh, and so on. We won't take time to read the rest of that, but he said this is not just some isolated thing. He connected that experience and what was happening that day. He connected it with Old Testament prophecy, with what Joel had prophesied. He said, it'll come to pass in the last days, God says, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Amen.
Amen.
And Peter didn't even believe all that himself at the time he said it. Because for many years, they just thought it was for Jewish flesh. But about 10 years, I think it was about 10 years after this occurrence, we look in the Scripture in Acts chapter 10, and we find that there's a man named Cornelius who's a Roman soldier, Roman centurion. He's not Jewish, he's a Gentile. But he's seeking God and he's worshiping God. And he's directed by an angel, send men to Joppa and find a man there named Peter. He's staying, tell him where he was staying and everything. And he said, get him to come here and he'll tell you words whereby you can be saved.
Amen.
And so Peter does that, and he comes to Cornelius' house, and Cornelius gathers all his friends and his family, and they filled up the house. All these are Gentiles now. They're not Jews. They're Gentiles filling up this house. And Peter comes in, and verse 44 says, and by the way, in the meantime, God has appeared to Peter and given him a vision, and in this vision explained to him, yes, it's all right for you to go to where the Gentiles are and proclaim this good news to them. It's not just for the Jews. It's like you preached it back on the day of Pentecost, Peter. It's for all flesh. I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Amen. And so verse 44, we'll pick it up there. It says, while Peter was still speaking these words, while he's preaching to Cornelius and all the people gathered there, it says, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And so we both Jew and Gentile, have access to God, not through the law, not through religious observance, but this new and living way of the Spirit. This is what I want you to get. On the day of Pentecost, what was this? What was the important thing? What was the significant thing? What was the outstanding thing? The outstanding thing was they got filled with the Holy Spirit and they began speaking with other tongues. It was not the observance of the tradition of the festival of Pentecost. That got lost, didn't it? What came to prominence was this new and living way of life in the Spirit, of a person being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Amen.
That's what came to prominence. Same thing happened to the Gentiles in Cornelius' house. Why? Because Paul said we both have access, Jew and Gentile. We both have access to God through the same Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Look at this scripture with me. Romans chapter 7. Everybody still, we're still all together here, are we?
Yes.
All right. Romans 7, verse 6. He says, But now we have been released from the law, for we died to it, and are no longer captive to its power. This is a New Living Translation, Romans 7, 6. But now we've been released from the law, for we died to it, and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
This is how we're supposed to live, beloved. Not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit.
Yes.
So we serve God. We serve God in the new way of living in the Spirit. Amen. This new and living way that we talked about in Hebrews, it's a way of the Spirit. The new way of living in the Spirit. Everybody say living in the Spirit.
Living in the Spirit.
Amen. Some people think about that and they think that's weird and spooky and you know, I'm in the Spirit. No, it means being guided by the Holy Spirit. It's a perfectly normal way to live.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says this. It says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Some people stop reading right there. But there's another part to this. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So this verse tells us we can walk according to the Spirit. That means our lives can be guided by the Spirit. That means our lives can be empowered by the Spirit. So they didn't have that in the Old Testament. They would look at God's laws on the outside and they'd try to keep them and it'd always fall short because there was nothing on the inside of them empowering them. But now we have that's the whole reason for the new covenant. God says, I'm going to put my Spirit within them.
Amen.
There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now look at verse 4. It says that the righteous... Somebody said, well, that's great. This is good news, Pastor. You just got through telling me we've been released from the law. That's awesome. So I can just kind of make up my own rules now. No, that's not what that's saying at all. And some people use that as a cop-out. Well, the Spirit didn't lead me to do that. Listen... The Spirit will always lead you in line with what is written in the Word of God. I'm not having to try to obey it from the outside, you know, with human effort, but I've got a power on the inside enabling me and prompting me to fulfill His will and to keep His Word. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Amen. So that sounds to me like we're to keep His law. Now again, it's talking about his moral law. We don't have to keep the ceremonial law, but the moral law, as enumerated in the Ten Commandments. We can keep that moral law. If you're being led by the Spirit, you're not going to violate any of the Ten Commandments. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to violate. Well, the Holy Spirit just told me to lie. Just know He did it. No, if you're led by the Spirit, you're going to fulfill the law. You're going to fulfill those Ten Commandments. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. It's a higher way. It's a better way. It's a way that we can finally achieve the results that they could never achieve under the old covenant. Amen? And we actually fulfill the righteous requirement of the law as we're led by the Spirit and as we walk according to the Spirit. Amen? Y'all out there this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Go with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse number 19. Now, I almost said this. I believe the Spirit of God was prompted me to say it, but I stopped short and I didn't say it earlier in the exhortation, the tongues and interpretation at the beginning of the service about preparing yourself and getting ready for this outpouring of the Spirit and for what God was going to do in pouring out His glory. But I almost said that the message that will be preached today will be a part of that. So take heed. So I'll tell you now, take heed to what we're saying here. Because this is how you can be prepared for what God's going to do. Learning to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
John chapter 4, Jesus has come to Samaria and He's encountered the woman at the well in Samaria. And Jesus, you know, has offered her living water. She's come to draw water. And He says, I can give you water. The water that I give you, if you drink of it, you'll never have to come and, you know, you'll never be thirsty again. And she's thinking, naturally, she's thinking, boy, it is a burden to come up here every day and fill up this pot with water and have to carry it back. You know, it's heavy. And it'd be nice not to have to do that. And so she said, give me this water so I don't have to come here and draw again. And so, of course, He was talking spiritually. He's talking about a water that would satisfy her heart. Amen. And so then He said, go call your husband. She says, I don't have a husband. And He said, you've spoken rightly. You actually have had five husbands, and you're living and checking up with a guy right now, and he's not your husband. And so she tried to change the subject once He said that. And verse 19, the woman said to Him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Let's change the subject here. Let's not talk about my domestic life. Let's talk about where we should worship. Amen. He says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain. She was a Samaritan, so they worshipped on Mount Gerizim. And you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Which one's right? Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither, everybody say neither. When you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Amen. You worship what you do not know. He said, well, the Jews, we are a little bit ahead of you. You're worshiping what you don't even know. He said, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Salvation came into this world through the Jewish race and through the Jewish nation, right? Amen. But, Jesus said, the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father, not in Jerusalem, not in Mount Gerizim, but in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. So this new and living way that Jesus made available, it's the way of the Spirit. We're to walk in the Spirit. We're to live in the Spirit, and we're to worship in the Spirit. Amen. We're not supposed to go back and worship the way they did under the old covenant.
Amen.
Amen. It's a new and living way. Hallelujah. Yes. I want to read some excerpts from this book. The book is called Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits, and it was written by Kenneth E. Hagin, and it's the account. The entire book is a recording and an account of a visitation that he had in 1987. On July the 16th, 1987, Jesus appeared to him, in which I suppose is the last, from 1950 to 1959, Jesus appeared to him eight times. And two of those occasions, talked to him for an hour and a half. You know, we've been talking about, on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about how to be led by the Spirit. Jesus came into a hospital room that Brother Hagin was in El Paso, Texas, in February of 1959, pulled up a chair, sat down, folded his hands, and talked to him face-to-face for an hour and a half. And about the minister, the prophet, and about how to be led by the Spirit. Well, I believe this is probably the last time that Jesus appeared to him in such a profound and dramatic way before Brother Hagin went on to be with the Lord in 2003. So there's some important things connected to what we've been saying that are in this that I want to share with you this morning. Brother Hagin writes, he says, several days before our annual camp meeting in 1987, I had a visitation from the Lord. As I relate that visitation, I share it with you in weakness and in reverence and in much trembling because of the awesomeness of God's power and His presence. Paul said, I was with you in weakness and in fear. 1 Corinthians 2:3. Of course, that didn't mean he was afraid like you'd be afraid of a rattlesnake or a tornado. Paul meant that he had a godly fear, an awe, a reverence for God. It is with that same reverence that I now relate to you that awesome visitation I had from the Lord the week before our camp meeting. This experience was unusual and it lasted almost 3 hours. Part of it was revelation and part of it was a vision. It began about 3 o'clock in the morning and it lasted, and the last time I looked at the clock, it was almost 6 o'clock. When I was caught up into the Spirit to where Jesus was standing, it seemed that Jesus and I were standing up a little higher than the ceiling of the Tulsa Convention Center, looking down on our camp meeting services, which were scheduled to begin there the following Monday. I saw the Monday night service unfold before us. So this is a few days. I think this happened on Wednesday night, Thursday morning, actually, early Thursday morning. So here he is about 4 days before this camp meeting service, and he's seeing into the future by the gifts of the Spirit, by the word of wisdom. And he's seeing into the future. He said, I saw the Monday night service unfold before us, and I saw many things that would happen in the other services throughout the week. Jesus was the narrator, and he explained what was taking place as I looked on. All right, and then I'm going to skip forward here several pages. In the visitation of July 1987, Jesus showed me something about the progression of worship from the Old Testament to the New Testament. He directed me to John chapter 4, which we just read. John chapter 4 relates that Jesus was passing through Samaria when he stopped at Jacob's well in Sychar. When one of the women of the city came to the well to draw water, Jesus asked her for a drink. And so he's talking about that. The woman at the well, perceiving that Jesus could speak with authority, wanted him to tell her where the proper place of worship should be. Jesus' answer revealed to her that neither the Samaritans nor the Jews were right because the order of worship was changing. Notice that. The order of worship was changing. Jesus said to me in the visitation, really, in so many words, she asked me, who is right, the Samaritans or the Jews? And in so many words, I answered her, neither is right, because the time is coming, and now is, that they that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The time had not been right to worship in spirit and in truth before the ministry of Jesus. In fact, the Old Testament saints couldn't worship God in spirit because they didn't know the Spirit of God as we do. So, again, they were not born again. They didn't have the Spirit of God living in them, and they couldn't worship God that way. Read you one more excerpt here for right now. Under the new covenant, everything we do in worship must be in the Spirit. We should not try to go back under the old covenant and worship like they did. People under the old covenant were spiritually dead. They had not been born again. The salvation of the Old Testament saints was not complete until Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. We who are born again should worship as those who are alive unto God. We should worship in the power of His Spirit. You won't worship God like your forefathers did in this mountain, is what Jesus was saying to the woman at the well. And neither will you worship Him like the Jews have worshiped Him heretofore in Jerusalem. Now the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Amen. The order of worship has changed from the old covenant to the new covenant. In order to be true worshipers living under the new covenant, we must follow the new covenant order of worshiping in the Spirit. Praise God. Now, look at Ephesians 5 with me. Ephesians 5, verse 17. When you find that, I'll read a little bit more here. Following, as Brother Hagin's writing here, he says, following our 1987 camp meeting, someone asked me, what did Jesus emphasize the most during his 3-hour visitation with you? That's a good question. I'm glad somebody asked that question. What did Jesus emphasize the most? What was the most important thing? Without question, what Jesus emphasized most is what we will be discussing in this chapter. And the title of this chapter is Be Being Filled Speaking. Be Being Filled Speaking. All right? Jesus said to me, my plan, all right? This is what Jesus said to him. My plan under the new covenant is for every believer. Everybody say every believer.
Every believer.
My plan under the new covenant is for every believer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he says, in our own individual lives, the New Testament emphasizes being filled with the Spirit. Jesus directed me to Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, which I knew well. He discussed with me in detail everything I've included in this chapter. In the Old Testament, God's people were strictly worshiping Him in the flesh. And so Jesus leads them when He tells them that the order of worship is changing and that the true worshipers are to worship in spirit and truth. Then he says, I want, you know, go to Ephesians 5 because you'll find the pattern. Amen. For New Testament worship right here. So let's look at it. Verse 17. If we got it back up there. Verse 17, he says, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So he wants us to understand his will. He begins to tell us what it is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Everybody say, be filled with the Spirit. That's the will of the Lord. That's His will. All right, notice this now. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is spiritual worship right here. This is spiritual worship. This is worshiping in the Spirit. In the New Covenant, the emphasis, in the New Testament, the emphasis is upon being filled with the Spirit and speaking. In Acts chapter 2, it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak. First thing they did was speak. They began to speak with other tongues. Well, some people stop right there. Some people stop speaking right there. But God doesn't want us to stop right there. We're also to be inspired by the Spirit and continue to speaking. This way, speaking in psalms. Now that word, that phrase, to one another. In the King James, it says speaking to yourselves. In God's Word translation, it says speaking for your own good. And so both are involved here. We can speak to one another, our brothers and sisters, but also this is something that we are to do in our own personal devotional life. We're to speak to ourselves in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. This is one of the ways we'll be prepared for the glory of God. This is one of the ways we'll be prepared for God to use us as His glory is poured out on the earth in this day.
Amen.
Amen. This is His plan for us. Yeah. Praise God. Notice that singing is involved. Do you know, and of course they sang in the Old Testament. But I'm just going to throw this out there. I don't have scripture to confirm this, but it's a thought that I had, and I think even though I don't have direct chapter and verse, I think that the weight of scripture backs it up. I believe that Adam and Eve, before they sinned, and while they were spiritually alive, when they sinned, they became spiritually dead. I believe that while they were spiritually alive, I believe that they're that they were just filled with songs of praise to God.
Amen.
And when they died spiritually, of course that they still had the ability of song, and that carried over even into the Old Testament worship. But it's something that's definitely a part of New Testament worship. I preached a message, I guess about a year ago, maybe a little over a year ago. I know that Linda's father, Mr. Garner, had just passed away, and I used him as a reference point in this message about how He had deteriorated to the point where mentally he didn't have the mental capabilities to speak, but he could still sing. Folks would come and visit him, and they would start singing, and he'd pick up, and he would sing right along with them. Amen. Well, where was that coming out of? Obviously, that was coming out of his spirit. The outward man is decaying, Paul said, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Amen. Glory to God. That spirit man, that inward man was still young, and he could still sing those songs, those old hymns that he'd learned throughout his life. He could still sing those. Isn't that amazing? Now, he's not. I've heard many examples like that of people that were either deteriorated mentally or incapacitated some way mentally, but out of their spirit, that song could still come. Amen? So singing, that comes out of your spirit. So when the Bible talks about here about praying, the importance of praying in other tongues, about worshiping with a song, Paul said, I'll pray with the spirit, I'll pray with the understanding also, I'll sing with the spirit, I'll sing with the understanding also. We need to flow more in this. Amen? We need to learn to do this more and yield more to the Holy Spirit in this. Let me read you just a little bit, a couple more comments that Brother Hagin makes in this. He says, in the New Testament, the emphasis for worship is that it's to be done in the Spirit. That's why the Bible says we're to be filled with the Spirit. And then he says this, he says, in all the New Testament accounts, the people spoke with tongues after the Holy Ghost came upon them. Did you notice that? Being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking is the New Testament pattern. Notice the key word in Ephesians 5:18 and 19, be filled with the Spirit speaking. Be filled with the Spirit speaking. In the epistles, we find out that the New Testament emphasizes being filled with the Spirit. And the epistles are written to us. The Bible, all the Bible is for us. The Old Testament is for me. The Gospels are for me. But the epistles, the letters, are written to me and to you. That they're written to people that are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's who they're for. Amen? Amen. And that's who they're written to. That's what that was the basic understanding and platform that was written from. Paul is writing, and all the other writers of the epistles, they're writing to believers that are born again, and they've entered into this new and living way. And all the instruction in these epistles is training us how to live and walk out this new and living way. Amen. So in the epistles, we find out that the New Testament emphasizes being filled with the Spirit. In writing to the Ephesian Christians who had already been filled initially with the Holy Spirit in Acts 19, Paul exhorted them again in Ephesians 5 to be filled with the Spirit. At first reading, this might seem confusing. And so he points out the fact that it means when he's talking to them, even though they'd been filled in Acts 19, we read where Paul laid hands on them, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And he tells them here, be filled with the Spirit. Literally, that means be being filled. In other words, be continually filled. So there's one initial baptism in the Holy Spirit, but there's a continual filling that God wants us to experience. Amen. And how do we do that? Be being filled speaking. Be filled speaking. Amen. As we continue to pray in other tongues, worship God in the Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And our corporate worship is certainly a part of that. Amen. But let's not limit it to our corporate worship. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, you talk about a worship service. If all of us would begin to enter into this on our own, in our personal devotional life, and worship God in the Spirit, when we came together, you talk about a worship service, Jonathan. Oh, my goodness. You wouldn't have to pull us along very far then. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. So let's do this. Let's enter into this. One more verse, and we'll wrap this up. Much more we could say, but we want to pray for some folks this morning. Philippians 3, verse 3. Look at this as we conclude this morning. Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. Look at this. He says, for we are the circumcision. Now, he's talking about in the heart there. Now, of course, again, there was a debate. The Jews, now the circumcision, that talks about that has to do with the ceremonial law. But he says, folks, we're the true circumcision. He says, who worship God how? Who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. So that's the key right there. Amen. We're to worship God new in this new and living way. As new covenant believers, New Testament believers, our emphasis, our focus is to worship God in the Spirit. Amen. To rejoice in Christ Jesus. Amen. So we serve God, not in the oldness of the letter, but in the new way of the Spirit, as it said. We walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We're to walk in the Spirit. We're to serve in the Spirit. We worship in the Spirit. This new and living way is the way of the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's pray. Bow your heads with me. Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. Father, thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for leading us on. Thank you for moving us into all the things that you have planned for us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for every person right now under the sound of my voice. I pray if there's anyone here that has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, I pray today that they've got a little bit better understanding. This is not just it's not a religious thing that they do, but it's entering into life in the Spirit. It's entering into this new and living way. So, Father, I pray right now, if there are those here that have never made Jesus the Lord of their life, they've never entered into this new and living way. Hallelujah. They may be far from you. They may be near to you, but far or near, that's not good enough. We want to come right into your presence. We want to be able to come right to you. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. There are those here that need to take that step and receive you into their heart and be born of the Spirit. I pray for them right now. While we're in an attitude of prayer, you're here and you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I've never made Jesus the Lord of